I think this is episode 17. We'll find out. Oh, yeah. A little higher. I got it. It's okay.
Okay.
All right. Hi. Oh, that's not going to work.
Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, the pines were roaring on the height, the winds were moaning in the night, the fire was red, it flaming spread, the trees like torches blazed with light.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 17 of the Film Club podcast. My name is Jason.
And I'm Robert.
So, no Rudy this week for the first time ever in Film Club podcast history. But Robert, thanks for joining me once again.
Fix his boiler, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he has adult responsibilities to take care of. So, we're holding the fort down, just me and Rob this week.
Fuck that.
So, this episode was supposed to be like a huge first annual Christmas spectacular. We are going to still be talking about Christmas on this episode, but me and Robert just got back from seeing The Hobbit in 3D, 48 frames per second.
Yep.
So, or high frame rate, whatever you want to call it. So we're going to be talking about that as well. And then we'll get into what we watched. So I guess we'll start it off. Christmas. Robert wasn't too hot on this idea. I guess it's not
it's
a big...
It's not that I wasn't too hot. I couldn't think of a good Christmas movie that I liked.
So, if thinking of Christmas movies...
Yeah.
Which ones have you liked? And you could be honest here if there's not anything to talk about, really.
Everybody's always watched A Christmas Story. I mean, you can't ever say... There's nobody in the history of this world or right now in the present that says, I've never seen A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
So...
That's it.
I mean, that's all. That's the one I always remember from a kid, like watching all the time during the holidays.
So, did you like the movie
as a kid? Yeah, I loved it because it was so relatable. Like, that kid thinks exactly the way I do. You know, he does it the same.
Like when you were a kid. Right?
Yeah, when you were a kid, oh, cool. You know, like this is the way I like. It's not just me thinking or saying these kind of things. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I really like connect to the movie, but I don't know. It just seems classic in so many ways.
Definitely.
There's so many things about it that are classic. The BB gun, you know, shoot your eye out stuff.
And yeah.
The dad who, like, is always cursing, but he's not really cursing. He's just saying, like, made-up words. I don't know. They're just... And whatever. Triple dog dare you.
Yeah.
Tongue to the pole. There's just so many things about that movie that make it classic. And yeah, it's definitely something that I... watch every year. Yeah. I haven't watched it this year, but then again, I haven't watched really any Christmas movies this year, unfortunately.
Yeah. What other Christmas movie can I think of? Die Hard, if you want to call that one a Christmas movie.
Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of people referring to that as like a really good Christmas movie, but I need to see it.
Yeah, it's funny because one of my friends, one of my old friends from the movie theater, Karen, I don't know if you remember her, you ever worked with her, but that's like her favorite Christmas movie.
She was at Piper's?
Oh, I'm sorry, that was my phone. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No. She was at Piper's Alley, so I didn't meet her. She was there for like a month, she left. Yeah.
So, Die Hard's a good one, for sure. So.
Rudy tried to get us to watch Gremlins the other night, but we didn't actually watch it. And I know that's kind of Christmassy, too.
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And speaking of Rudy, he actually, the other night he was here and... He forced us to watch South Park, which I
saw that status.
Yeah, I mean, I do like South Park, like what episodes I've seen. Mm-hmm. I do like it, even though I do badmouth it sometimes. But he showed us like a Christmas episode with Mr. Hankey called A Very Crappy Christmas, and it was really bad. I don't know. And he showed us like Do you watch South Park or no?
Yeah, I don't watch it like weekly, like whenever it's out, like I'll catch an episode here and there. But yeah, I mean, it's a, I think it's a very original like show. Like the satire is great.
Yeah, and definitely.
So that's what I really like about it.
Yeah. But I don't know, I just, he showed us three episodes and I thought they were all pretty bad, unfortunately.
What episodes were they?
So the Christmas one, and then Inception, like the Inception one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I saw that one.
Yeah. And then the one, which actually did have some funny moments, it was about the royal wedding.
No, I didn't see that
and,
one.
Like about Tooth Decay. The opening was good. It was, had a lot to do with queefing, which I thought was pretty funny. But outside of that, they were all not very good. But it was pretty funny. Back to Christmas, I guess. Anything else? Off the top of your head?
Jingle All the Way.
I never saw that. With that's with Arnold, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember going
to Sinbad in that too?
Yeah, yeah, it's Sinbad. I remember seeing that as a kid, my mom taking me to watch it. I think that was like one of the very last like kids' movies that I've seen that I ever remember seeing when I started growing old and like and I stopped caring about those kind of movies, you know?
Yeah.
So I remember seeing that in the theaters. And
so you're never a big Home Alone fan or no?
Oh yeah, I was. I had the VHS too. Yeah, that's another one. You see all these things that I keep. I just like don't. I forget. Like I erase your memory. I don't know why.
I remember watching that a lot when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
That last half hour is just the best. The best thing ever.
Yeah. I don't know why I just don't watch them anymore. Like I don't know. It's just for me they seem so cheesy now.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people that's good because it's nostalgic.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know. But for me it's just like I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's why I like it.
Yeah.
I mean, it gives me a warm feeling inside watching most of those movies anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But outside of Jingle All the Way.
I don't know. What about you? What do you have? What do you?
I mean, I know we try to talk about it in the car, but I think you never saw it all the way. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably the big one that I like. I mean, I didn't see that one growing up. I probably saw it 6 or 7 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little longer. Maybe 7 or 8 years ago, I finally had seen that one. I just like that one. It makes me bawl. I just like the story about a guy who's... Have you seen that? Do you know what the story
is? Yeah,
about?
I know the premise. Mainly, yeah, like, yeah.
I just love how it's about this guy who's was always trying to get out of this town. And then, whatever, for one reason or another, like things hold him back from leaving and stuff. And I just love that whole idea of him, like, I'm trying to think of the premise of the movie of him, like, you know, regretting that and then, you know, wishing he didn't exist and then him being shown, like, how important he is to people. I just like how it's about self-sacrifice and all that stuff. It's just an amazing movie. Like today, I was walking and thinking about it. It was as cheesy as hell, but I was like I wanted to cry just thinking about it. I really like James Stewart too. So, and then yeah, Home Alone and Christmas Story was a big thing for me. I actually really like Family Man. You ever see Family Man with Nicolas Cage?
No, I've
it's
kind of
like it's similar. It's a Wonderful Life. Where it's just, you know. It's one of Brett Ratner's, probably his only good movie.
Well, Brett Ratner directed that?
Yeah.
Wow.
But I really like that movie. Same thing. It's about this guy who's like a bachelor, and then he gets shown a life, a different life, where he would have stood with his high school sweetheart and had a family. So it's a pretty heartbreaking movie, but it's very good. And it's set during Christmas time, so I always like, I relate it to a Christmas movie, I guess. I don't know outside of that. I mean, I did have a list. Like, there's Nightmare Before Christmas, but that one's always kind of weird because it could be a Halloween movie. It could be a Christmas movie. I would consider it more Christmas, you know, because it is about him falling in love with a new holiday.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's always weird. Like, I never watch that either time of the year, usually. So, I don't know.
I think one now that I enjoy because it's more adult is Bad Santa. That's the one I really like. I really love Bad Santa.
Yeah.
It's such a hilarious. Have you ever seen it?
I've seen it.
I love it. It's so funny. So yeah, that's a good one. I remember. That's the one I remember like right now that I can really think of in detail like and talk about it. So, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's definitely a good one.
You ever seen Love Actually? I'm actually a big Love Actually fan.
No, I haven't seen that movie.
That's just like. One of his movies where there's just, I mean, there's so many different famous people in it, but it's just all these different stories and the different versions of loves. And they're not really, I mean, they're somewhat connected, but not really. It's a really cheesy movie, but it just kind of makes you feel good. So that's what Christmas is all about, Rob. But I don't know. I did have a list, which I should probably pull up, but I don't know. I'm like forgetting movies.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, Christmas movie, like, when you tell me we're going to talk about Christmas movies, like, oh, I have nothing to talk about because I don't really watch them.
Yeah.
But The Grinch was on TV the other day. I remember that.
A cartoon or?
No.
Or the Jim Carrey one?
The Jim Carrey one.
I've never seen either.
It's so stupid, but it's like stupid funny. Like, it's a terrible movie, but I mean, it's just, I was sitting there watching it. I was laughing at some of the jokes, so. Yeah, that's another one.
Sorry, guys, I'm looking something up. It's taking me a while. I'm trying to pull up one of my old posts that I did about Christmas. Oh, Harry Potter. I always associated the first two Harry Potter movies with Christmas, so Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets.
Because they came out around the same time, right?
Yeah, they came out in November. Well, actually, like, I think the first three came out in November, and then they started changing the dates, like summer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I always associated those. And I like how the movies, like, you know, it takes place in the school, so you get the whole evolution of the school year, the different seasons and stuff like that. So, and then A Muppet's Christmas Carol, I really love. Like, it's a great story.
Is that with Michael Caine?
Right? Michael Caine.
He played Scrooge, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. Oh yeah, and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh yeah, I remember you talked about that last week. We were discussing what we were going to talk about.
It's super cheesy, and that's why I love it. Like, the humor is ridiculous, but I just find it really funny.
Yeah, that's one I've never seen in its entirety. Elf. Elf is a good one.
I love Elf.
Yeah, Elf is really good. Yeah, that's right. That's yeah.
Yeah, and I remember watching, like, you ever see Happy Tree Friends?
No.
It's kind of like Itchy and Scratchy. Just like cute characters murdering each other.
What?
It's really violent. I have the box set. I think I do still, if you want to borrow it. Pretty funny. But they have like Christmas-inspired episodes, and they're really good. Other than that, I don't know. Yeah,
sorry, guys.
That's our Christmas conversation.
Wow, we're such a bummer.
Sorry, I'm like incredibly sick, so I'm sorry for all the coffee. So you want to get into the Hobbit?
Sure.
Let's just do it. All right. What's the Hobbit? You want to start?
Well, obviously, the Hobbit, we all know, is the what do you call it? The prequel to the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Indeed.
It's pretty much the story of how Bilbo Baggins came to find the ring and how the adventures that he had with Gandalf and, was it the dwarves of... I remember
of some place.
Of some place.
I know their place is like the Lonely Mountain or something like that, but I don't know the actual name of it.
So yeah, it's pretty much the plot, or what's going to be the plot of the trilogy, along with some extra stuff added in there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
We saw it in 48 frames.
Yeah.
So that was something new to experience.
Yeah.
So I was kind of excited. I was more excited to see it in the high frame rate than the movie itself, because I told you while we were in line in the concession stand, like, I already know how the movie is going to feel.
Yeah.
I already know it's going to be in the same world that I've seen like 10 years ago, like a million times.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I wanted something newer, and watching it in that way was the way for me to, I wanted to experience it, because it felt, would feel new.
Yeah.
So I definitely, I enjoyed the high frame rate. I know a lot of people hate it. But it just looked so crisp. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it's sharp and crisp, and the motion was, for me, it felt kind of sped up at times.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I don't know, man. Like, maybe it felt sped up because, like, if you watch it in 24 frames, like, watching something go fast kind of gets blurred a little bit. Here, you still see how sharp, you still see the details.
Yeah.
Even in, like, the super fast motion. So that was just amazing. So.
Yeah, like me going into 48 frames, I wasn't excited about it because...
Yeah, I heard you laughing the first second you started.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, but like even before I saw the movie, I wasn't too excited about it because I guess I thought it would be pretty much like motion flow, the stuff that you find on your television sets. And I just really don't like how that looks. Like, to me, it looked really fake. And I guess it looked like it was in slow motion. I mean, speaking of motion flow, like whenever I would see something like that, it looks like it's in slow motion, but... people are like, no, it looks like it's in fast forward, and that's true. It's just going faster.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I initially wasn't excited that we were going to see it in that rate, but then I did kind of want to see something new.
Yeah.
See a new technology. So I was, I don't know. I was starting to get more optimistic as the hour was approaching.
Yeah.
We're going to go see it. And then, I don't know. I thought it looked really good.
Yeah.
As far as like the fast motion, like when the movie first starts off, I think that was more due to the fact of how it was being filmed. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. To me, it felt like whenever the camera was, like, whenever a character was moving on screen and the camera was moving with them, it didn't look right. It looked like it was being sped up, like the characters were walking like super fast.
Yeah.
But most of the movie, you don't have that effect. And no. I don't know if it was my eyes getting used to it. I don't think that's what it was. I just think the techniques that they were using to film it.
Well, like 24 frame kind of techniques.
Though. Yeah.
Yeah. They need to change.
It didn't like, no, I mean, it didn't, I didn't get that sensation most of the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there was times, especially when they would do like swooping landscape shots that they always do in these movies.
Yeah.
Like I thought those looked really weird. But other than that, like, I thought all the action looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like you said, it looks really crisp. Like,
yeah.
It looks detailed. Like I was telling you earlier, it looked like the action scenes looked like they were in slow motion. I mean, not in slow motion, just like I was watching it, and I just, yeah. Whenever you see these battle scenes, you kind of get, especially in other movies, I usually get lost. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
But I felt like so much was going on, and I could tell.
You could tell, yeah.
I could tell, like, every little detail of all the different characters fighting.
Yeah,
and exactly. I thought it was incredible.
Like, watching, like, Bilbo crouch down with the orcs while there were, like, hundreds of orcs walking around him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, in regular, I don't know, 24, you'd see that all kind of blur in a little bit. But you mm-hmm. could see every foot and every step that every orc was taking. I don't know, it just looked amazing, so.
Yeah.
Definitely, I agree with you. Gollum looked amazing in 40 yeah. frames.
Yeah, when I saw him in the trailer, I was like hesitant. I'm like, yeah. I don't know. He looks a little overdone, but
no, yeah,
he looks so pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's so realistic. Yeah. It's amazing. Like that was the best special effect. Like I saw in the whole entire movie. Like he looked like you could just touch him and you could feel like how like like you know what do you call it? How like sweaty his skin would probably be and how you know
yeah.
it was great.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, and then with... Oh, what the fuck was I going to talk about? I was totally going to talk about something. I forgot. So if you have anything to say.
Yeah, as far as story-wise, I mean, I felt like we were watching an extended cut that probably should have been released on DVD.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know you used to, you loved like the entirety of the movie. I felt like there were probably 20 minutes that probably could have been taken out of the movie.
Yeah.
For sure. So, yeah, for me, I'm thinking, okay, cool, like, where's the theatrical version? Because not everybody's going to love watching this version of the movie, you know? So, I mean, yeah, at times for me, it kind of slowed down and the pace kept changing a little bit, especially in the beginning. The pace changed so much. you noticed it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess because like coming in, I had heard that the first hour was really like slow.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed the first hour, like a lot. I mean, the pacing was weird, like how it started off with his narration. And then it got into this whole prologue of the dwarves and kind of telling their story.
Yeah.
And I was definitely lost in the details of that story. I'm like, I don't know what's
yeah,
going
exactly.
on here. Like, who's who? But then I thought they did a good job just setting up their plight of them trying to get their home back.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoyed, like, once you got back to the Shire and then the dwarves just coming over and all that stuff, I thought was pretty enjoyable. I didn't think it was boring. I don't know. I didn't think, for the most part, I didn't think the movie was very boring. At all.
Well, I stopped getting bored after, like, the first hour, especially when, they met the trolls and, you know, in the woods.
Awesome.
Yeah, once that started happening, like, I felt like the movie's momentum
mm-hmm.
started, like, building and building and kept going. And that's what it actually started getting really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as far as, like, it seeming like the extended cut, the only thing I really got of that, feeling of what I don't know what I'm trying to say, but the only time I thought that was everything with the one wizard,
the brown
wizard.
Yeah, exactly.
That's I thought that was like very disconnected from the movie,
exactly.
Especially when you first meet him and there's this whole scene regarding spiders and stuff.
And I thought
it was really out of place.
Was that bird shit smeared on the side of his face? I don't know what the hell that was. Because he had the birds like under his hat or something.
Yeah.
And then all I'm thinking is like, wow, that kind of distracted me from what was going on in his story. Like all I kept thinking was, is that bird shit? Is that why those birds are living under his hat? Do they take shits on his face? Like what's going on? Yeah. And then they kind of like took away from like what I was supposed to be really like paying attention to. I don't know. I just, that was so stupid.
But and then, yeah. Like, I had heard a lot, like, coming into this about the makeup, because, you know, like, the original trilogy, a lot of the creatures in there, well, pretty much most of the creatures were, like, done with makeup.
Yeah.
And I guess, you know, some people were saying that the creatures in this are not as effective because of that.
Yeah.
And I didn't find that to be true. I don't know. I felt the goblins were pretty scary. And they actually... I don't know. It looked like it was prosthetics for the most part.
When they were in Santa Mountain and they were captured?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They looked like prosthetics. And then even with the orcs, like the one kind of main villain.
The white orc?
Yeah, I thought he was... Even though he was clearly CGI,
yeah.
I thought he looked terrifying. No. Maybe not as terrifying as the whatever they were called, the Yorokai from the first movie. But I still thought... I thought it was something I wasn't going to like, because I definitely don't like when directors seem to rely on CGI too much, which I know that's where he's going, and that's where Guillermo del Toro seems to be going as well, but it worked, I thought.
I'm actually, like, when we were watching the scene where they got captured inside the mountains,
yeah.
Like, I was actually, you brought up a good point, because I was thinking the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, wait, weren't in the other movies, like, they were all makeup? They're all, like, they're all special effects in this one. What happened to the creatures that were makeup?
Yeah.
And I felt like it was a different kind of, like, I wasn't watching the same creatures that were in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yeah, I guess they don't really match up too well, but I did still find them really terrifying.
Well, like, yeah, I guess it didn't work for me, because as soon as I started thinking, wait, these are all CGI, why aren't they makeup like in the other ones? It took it for me, once I thought that.
I also would like to see the movie in 24 frames just to compare the two, just because a lot, like we said, it looks really sharp, and a lot of the stuff looks really good. I just want to know, Is it mainly due to the frame rate, or is it something else?
Yeah,
you know. So I definitely want to see 24 and see if it looks as good as it looked here. So I don't know.
Yeah, it would take a lot of energy for me to watch that again. Not because it was bad. I mean, it's because, like, you know, it is a long movie, and so like to really...
there was definitely a point in the movie where I thought like there would be a perfect ending, like right after, spoiler. Bilbo gets the ring or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he eventually shows up once they all get out of the cave or whatnot.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been like a perfect ending. But then it goes on a little longer. I did still like where they ended it and how they ended it. But
I thought it was kind of funny. I mean, spoiler alert, everybody. But so... Yeah, when they, like, there it is, the mountain. I thought it was going to be so much closer. Like I thought
it's
when
pretty
they,
far.
Like, when, like, there it is. I thought it was, like, literally, like, right across the cliff that they were on.
Yeah.
And then they show it. It's, like, still, like, miles and miles away.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to laugh, like, oh, my God. It's, like, but, yeah, it's I don't know.
I'm from this, I mean, I understand he is trying to stretch it out. It's The Hobbit.
Yeah,
it's
exactly. I mean, I was... You knew you were gonna expect some kind of off ending like that, so I didn't really like.
Yeah, but for me, it didn't feel stretched out. Aside from, you know, the wizard stuff, which I definitely think is one of those things that you would see on the extended cut.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I thought everything was paced fine, I guess.
Yeah, and I never read The Hobbit. Well, I've never read any of the Lord of the Rings books, but I know a lot of people were saying that The Hobbit wasn't as dark. This is more like Lord of the Rings universe than its own. Cause I don't know if The Hobbit was intended to be like a more fun children's book, I heard yours, but yeah. So I mean, this definitely felt more of a like a Lord of the Rings type of movie.
Yeah.
So I mean, if people are going in and thinking, you know, like we're big fans of just The Hobbit,
mm-hmm.
you know, might get a little disappointed. Yeah. You know,
so. It is slightly more playful.
It
than
is
Lord of the Rings, but it is serious too.
It has its dark moments. Yeah, and so. I mean,
I mean, and, you know, people say, no, they are trying to stretch it out, but they are, it's not only the Hobbit, you know, they are adding elements from the other books, the Silmarillion or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, so, whatever. he's justifying why he's making three movies out of it, but I don't know. I think in the end it'll work. I just wish he would have, I don't mind three movies. It would have just been nice if it was like 3 2-hour movies than 3 3-hour movies.
Yeah, exactly.
It's too much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he could have not gone that route, you know? He always said it's going to be two movies. It's going to be two movies and that's it. And then all of a sudden, I don't know where, oh yeah, it's, you know what? We're thinking about making it three. You know what? Yeah, it's going to be three. Yeah. Like, I don't know, like, you know.
He didn't even want to do it initially.
Yeah, stick to your guns.
He clearly didn't want to even direct at first. And now he wants to make three movies.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it was kind of disappointing, like, for him to do that. Yeah. I was like, oh, man, be the filmmaker who sticks to your guns, you know? When you're going to say, you know, like, you know, be the Nolan, you know? Be like, I'm only going to make three, and that's it. No one's going to change their mind about it. You know, I want to make, I want to tell a good story. I don't want to, well, for a lot of, but a lot of people didn't think so. But I want to tell a good story and then end it right there, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what was intention, and all of a sudden, I feel like Jackson got pressured by the studio, obviously.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, we're going to make three. And, you know, I mean, it's really just like deleted scenes or extra stuff they shot. Well, we just put that in the movie.
it just sucks because, like, I don't know. I like Peter Jackson as a filmmaker, and I want that. That's why when Guillermo was initially tied up, I'm like, I don't want him to do The Hobbit. Like, he could be out doing better things with his time, with his creativity or whatever. Same thing with Peter Jackson. Like, I just wish he was doing something else.
Yeah, I don't.
But then again, I did really enjoy this. I don't know.
I hope that doesn't get to the, like, because now I'm at the point of thinking, what else can Peter Jackson do? Like,
yeah,
I mean, he did the Lovely Bones, and that fell apart in his hand. So,
yeah,
I mean,
there is things I liked about Lovely Bones, but it is not a very good movie.
So, I mean, I just, you know, yeah, he is a good filmmaker. I mean, he's really good at horror movies. So, I don't know. Hopefully, he'll make something really good and original after this.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah. And then back to the movie. I really liked the dwarves. Like,
yeah, they were great. Yeah, I agree with,
like,
you.
Well, I mean, not only, like, I mean, they were cool, but, like, they looked amazing.
Yeah, they did.
And like when I first saw, like, promotional material coming out for these, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like,
the poster looked like the
it
poster
seems so overdone, but they looked so good. They're all like stacked up.
It just reminded me of the Muppets poster.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you could, like, you should compare the two posters and just, like, picture the, what's the guy's name from the Muppets, Jason Segel. With like,
did you see the Muppets?
Yeah, I love the Muppets.
Oh, I love that movie. Jason Segel was freaky in that movie.
Well, he was what?
He was always like being gleeful. It just did not look natural coming from him.
I'm not a big fan of musicals. I mean, the musical parts were, I mean, that's how the Muppets always
were. I actually enjoyed the music in the Muppets
movie.
Okay.
I'm never into, like, musicals and stuff. Like, especially, like, in The Hobbit, they had, like, two musical numbers.
I loved it.
They're just randomly out of nowhere. And you're just like, I'm just like, what? Oh, God, no, is this going to be a music? I was scared for a second. Like, wait, does this book have musical sequences in it, too? Or, like, I was kind of getting scared, but no.
I really enjoyed it. I mean, the first song was all right, but I really enjoyed, like, their main theme.
I don't remember how the song
was. Like, seeing it in the trailer, it was kind of silly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's the one Hobbit. There's one Hobbit who always he wears like this weird hat with like ears. He reminds me of like Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. I don't know why, but he looks just like him.
Oh my God. But
I just really like how I look.
Yeah,
I don't know, like, because I think a movie that was I think the reason this movie works being as it was shot, and like I said, I do want to see it in 24 frames and see if it does look as good. But like the level of like craftsmanship for like set designs and the props, that's why I think it works. Like, even though, you know, people say no, it looks too real, it looks like a set, to me it didn't look like a set at all. Maybe it did, but like the level of how good it is, or how, you know, the people who made those sets or whatever, it's so good
yeah
that it looks great. Like, if somebody makes a movie and, like, it's not at that same level, then it'll probably come off that way. But to me, it didn't come off that way at all.
No, I do.
And I actually like the sensation of actually feeling like you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think, I don't know, it looked amazing. Like, it looked incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are just really caught up in the fact that they watch movies because, you know, it's like an escapism for them, you know?
Yeah.
So they need to still realize that what they're watching is not real.
Yeah.
And 24 frames gives you that filter. Yeah. You know, the backgrounds look a little fuzzy. They don't look as sharp and crisp because, you know, this world that you're watching isn't real.
Yeah.
So when you're watching something so clear, like, they think, oh, it looks like a set. Well, not really. I mean, if you were in that house, I mean, it will look exactly the same. That, you know, I mean, it's, you know, it's not really, doesn't look like a set. It just looks like it's real.
Yeah.
I mean, but I loved it. I mean, I enjoy it. I really especially the greens in Hobbiton or whatever it's called.
The Shire?
Yeah. I don't know. Hobbiton. I don't know what the hell they called it. Hobbiton or Shire? No, did they say that, like, I want to go back to Hobbiton or Hobbit?
Oh, Bag's End.
Bag's End.
No,
yeah.
Bag End.
There you go. Bag End. Sorry.
I'm a Bag End.
I'm not a big Lord of the Rings fan. I don't know, but the greens were so beautiful. It was so like bright, and the blue clouds. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
Like and that part, even though it didn't look like a set to me, it looked more like a kind of like a little dream sequence. I don't know, but it was so, like, it was like really vivid.
Yeah, definitely. So. I mean, and I think it works here because, I mean, it's The Hobbit. It's like, yeah, it's like you're in a fantasy world. You want it to look like larger than life and like incredible. And I don't think this is, the frame rate would work for everything.
But
for like The Hobbit, the next two movies, like, this is would be my preferred way of seeing it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I want to see what the 48 frames would look like without the 3D. You know, I took my glasses off for a few seconds.
Yeah.
I couldn't really tell because it was still kind of fuzzy because, you know, the lines and stuff. But I would like to see how it would look without that.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks. You like, put the glasses on and it already naturally darkens the image. Mm-hmm. So to be able to see it without the 3D, so it would be a little bit brighter. Because when you did take the glass off, it was blurry.
Yeah.
But it was a lot brighter as well.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that would be a good or bad thing. It being brighter.
No way of knowing.
How do you like Martin Freeman as Bilbo?
Oh, he was great.
He was awesome.
I love Martin Freeman. I think he's hilarious. And I mean, his mannerisms were amazing in the movie. I just loved it. So yeah, he was a perfect choice.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I enjoyed him a lot.
Yeah, I wish there was, like, I don't know, like, even though he was like a main character, I wanted to see more of him in the movie.
He definitely seemed like he was off to the side at that point. Yeah. I mean, I want more of him, and I also want more of the dwarves, too.
Especially the dwarf prince. He was badass. I mean,
he's awesome.
Yeah, especially that fight sequence towards the end with the white orc.
Yeah.
That was that look that he just gave him while he was hanging out the tree. He just kind of went, you know what, fuck this. And he just gets up and he grabs like the bark from the tree and like uses it as a shield and just runs towards him with the sword. Yeah. That was so badass.
It was awesome.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah, they were great.
The dwarves are funny. Yeah, they're there for a reason. Comic relief, and it works.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Yeah.
Any other comments on The Hobbit?
No, it was an enjoyable film. For me, there were points where it felt like the parts that could have been taken out of the movie.
Yeah.
I enjoy the 48 frames. I mean, I'll definitely be checking out films like that come out in that way for sure.
Yeah.
So
we can look forward to Avatar 2 and 3.
They're going to be shooting 48 frames?
I believe so.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
I know, like, James Cameron is a big proponent of it as well. So
yeah. There's
I wouldn't be surprised if Scorsese got into it either after Hugo. Since supposedly all his movies from here on out are going to be in 3D.
Oh, did he say
that's
that?
What he said. I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But it was good. I give it out of 5 stars? What do we?
Yeah,
I give it a 4 out of 5.
Okay. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Like I said, reluctant going in. I actually didn't think I was going to enjoy it that much. I definitely didn't think I was going to enjoy the 48 frames per second.
Yeah.
But I ended up enjoying both.
Yeah.
And I ended up really enjoying the 48 frames.
Like, so, if you guys are definitely doubtful, I mean, Jason was super careful. Yeah. I mean,
I mean, there is negative, but I think the positive just far outweighs it. Outweighs it, yeah. In every way. Yeah. Yeah. And the movie itself is good. You know, like, with these movies, sometimes I do get lost in, like, the mythology or what the hell the characters are saying. Like, it just happens sometimes. Yeah. You zone out and you don't know what's going on. But I still found myself enjoying it. And I did still really enjoy the overall story of, you know, the dwarves trying to get back their home. Yeah. And about this guy who's safe at home, but also...
Yeah, that was a great speech. Like that.
Yeah, I just love how they not really convince him, but just... I just realize it's like, this is my life, and I could go on, you know, just go on an adventure and do something that, you know, I may not come back from, but at least if I do, I'll have some great stories to tell.
Yeah.
You know?
I love that speech, though, when he said, you know, I could be at home right now.
Yeah.
Sitting in like...
I miss my books.
My garden,
I miss my garden and my chair or whatever.
You know, but I have that to go home to, you know, but I'm here right now. At least trying to, you know, I want you to have the same thing.
Yeah.
So that was great. The minute he said that, I'm like, I love this character. This guy's the perfect Bilbo Baggins. I don't know.
Yeah. I was cheesy at, like, spoiler again. At the end when, like, the guy's like, oh, you know, I was, like, telling you, you know, you don't belong here. I'm like, he's just going to say all this and be like, I was wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Or whatever. But
yeah, you saw that.
It was still effective.
Yeah, it was
still. But yeah, I would line up with you. I'll give it a 4. As well.
Cool.
It's good stuff. All right. I guess we'll get into what we watched next. You want to go first or?
No, you go ahead.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
So I saw Sunshine.
Yes.
Danny Boyle. It's the first time I had seen it in movie theaters. Like, I've owned it for forever, but I saw it once when it came out in theaters and never saw it again. I initially had issues with the whole twist at the end.
Yeah.
Spoiler, if you haven't seen Sunshine, there's a twist regarding a character on one of the first ships. Well, maybe I should say what the hell Sunshine's about if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
It's about, like, these group of scientists or whatever on this aboard this ship called the Icarus II. Obviously, there was an Icarus I that initially tried to go on this mission to reignite the sun. Basically set off a bomb on the sun because the sun's dying out and the Earth is now, you know, super code or whatever. So they're part of the Icarus too, and they're trying to go and reignite the sun. And yeah, I don't know. I just, I initially had a problem with the twist, but this time I didn't. Like, I just really enjoyed that. I just really enjoyed all of the characters in the movie. I think it's one of Chris Evans' more stronger roles. And
yeah,
I've always loved, Cillian or Killian Murphy, however you say his name. And I don't know. I just really liked all the characters. Like, I liked how they all had something going on. You had the one lady or Michelle Yao, who's just this gardener lady.
Yeah.
Who just loved her gardens. And you have Chris Evans, like the asshole badass. And then just a really cool, like, captain of the ship, Canadian.
Oh, yeah. He was my favorite character.
And you had, like, the psychologist who's probably the most mentally unstable. He's like addicted to watching the sun. I just really enjoyed the movie. And like Danny Boyle, I don't know, a lot of his movies just have like this incredible energy to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that. I just love his style. Like, it's just, it's always frantic. Like Slumdog Millionaire, I felt, had a really great energy, and 127 Hours and Trainspotting, like they're all just like really exciting movie making, I guess. You're a huge Sunshine fan.
Oh yeah, it definitely my favorite. This Danny Boyle's best movie and most unnoticed movie too, I guess.
Yeah.
Like nobody.
Yeah, definitely. Like no one ever even talks about it.
When that movie
really
came out, like he was already a big filmmaker when that movie came out, and it had such little advertising, little marketing, and no one cared about it, and it just disappeared out of theaters in like a month. And I'm glad I went to go see that, it was a double feature for me. Like, I had a day off from work.
Yeah.
And I just decided last minute, you know what, I'm going to see that one too. Yeah. And oh my God, it's like, I was so happy that I did. Because, I mean, I left that theater thinking constantly about that movie for like two or three days. Because it was so, so amazing.
Yeah.
The visuals are great. I mean, The story is amazing. Like the whole cast, like you said, is amazing.
Yeah.
And you know, it's, when I first looked into the movie, I don't know if you knew about this, but Danny Boyle purposely put out all the death scenes of the characters online, like on YouTube and on the website. Like you could watch their death scenes. Like, and apparently he did it on purpose because he wanted you to see that it really wasn't about just these characters. It was like, you know, dying off. It was more of like, the idea of the movie and like, you know, I don't know. I just thought that was really weird though that he did that.
The death scenes of the main characters?
Yeah, all the characters.
What?
He put them on online on the website of the movie.
The scenes?
Yeah, where they all get killed. Like where the gardener, spoiler alert everybody. the gardener is sitting there and remember she gets stabbed by the crazy guy from Icarus One.
Yeah.
And so yeah, it's and then I was watching all the death scenes, like, and I'm like, why am I doing this? But for me, it didn't affect the movie at all for me, like, going in knowing that all the characters died.
Yeah.
So it was still an amazing movie.
Yeah. And I just love that, the spaceship design.
Yeah.
Incredible. I really like that.
And the music, the soundtrack.
The soundtrack's so amazing.
So, and that soundtrack is used so much in so many trailers and people don't even notice, like,
yeah.
And it's such a great soundtrack.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think, I mean, what else I can say? Yeah, I mean, when I just had a problem with the twist, it's because like it seems like everything space related always has to have some religious angle to it,
uh-huh.
Which I completely understand. Like, you know,
yeah,
you're in space meeting your maker or whatever. You're just having those ideas. I don't know, but seeing it again, it did not bug me at all.
No, the whole spoiler alert, everybody, because we keep ruining movies anyway. So
yeah, this one's like 7 years old
or
something like
that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, so if you haven't watched it by now, you deserve to be spoiled. But the I guess what happens is they find Icarus One and it's all dusted out and like dusty, and like I guess there was one, the captain of Icarus One goes insane.
Yeah.
And he ends up killing everybody in the ship, and he hops on board Icarus 2 and starts killing everybody on there.
Yeah, the guy's like sabotaging their ship. And
the guy's like, pretty much his skin's like all peeling and burnt because he loves like bathing in the light of the sun in the sunroom, you know, because just like the professor, the psychiatrist in the Icarus 2 starts to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, so he starts killing everybody and tries to prevent it. But I mean, what was I going with this? I totally forgot.
I don't know. Are you just trying to explain the twist or something?
Yeah, I guess. that the ending scene that where you really don't see him, like, you know, you really can't tell.
Yeah, he always like Danny Boyle does a lot of like blurred effects.
Blurred out,
he
shakes the camera.
Yeah,
and so I thought that was great because it gives it more of a like a jarring effect, like a more of a, you know, I don't know. I thought it was great.
And yeah, when they first go to when they first find the Icarus One, they decide to go on it as they're forced like boarding the ship. Like Danny, I don't know if it was Danny Boyle, all on him, but they like do these like little flash images of the people who were on the ship, mm-hmm. the ship who died. So you just see flash images of these people's faces. I thought that was pretty creepy. Ineffective. Do you remember that or no?
No.
There's like an image. There's like an image of them all like celebrating, like being on Icarus, and then so when they first get on the first ship, they do flash images of the people who are on that ship.
Oh, really?
And it's really cool. They only do it like three times, but it's pretty awesome.
Oh, I gotta check it out.
It's pretty cool.
It's so cool.
And then I just like the whole dynamics of the people on the ship. Like whenever they would like make a decision, like they would try to look at it from like a scientific angle, like what are the positive and the negatives, and make a decision based on that. And I don't know, I just think it was a full cast of characters that were really interesting, you know.
Yeah,
which I know we haven't talked about Prometheus too much, but that's the problem I have with Prometheus. I felt like there was a lot of throwaway characters.
Yeah,
there was a lot of characters that I really did like I liked Noomi Rapace, and everybody loves David Michael Fassbender's character.
Well, that guy's a fantastic
amazing
character.
But I just felt like a lot of the side characters I did not like. But this movie is not a case of that. Like, I thought they were all pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else I saw. Nothing else, really. I saw Silver Linings Playbook.
I haven't seen
finally.
It yet. I heard that, I wanted to see it, but then somebody I saw post on Facebook said, like, like, this movie just made me so mad. And I remember we talked about last week, like...
Mad?
Yeah, like, you know, movies that make you so angry. Like, oh, man, if this made this... This guy got angry watching this movie, I'm not going to watch it. Like...
I don't know why you get angry at that movie.
I don't know. He's but, like...
Have you seen The Fighter?
Yes, I've seen The Fighter.
You like The Fighter?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot.
I mean, did you like... Like, because The Fighter, like, a big part of that is, like, just the dynamics of the family.
Yeah.
And this movie's, like, the same thing, like... It seems like a dysfunctional family. Like, you're just with these characters, but they, like, the family feels so genuine, which is weird, you know, because it's, like, big-name actors, like Bradley Cooper and Robert De Niro is his father, and whatever. The movie's about this guy who had an incident because his wife had an affair on him, and he, like, beat the shit out of the guy, and he just got a mental institution because he's, like, bipolar. So this is about him trying to get his life back together. But not really. He's also trying to get back with his ex-wife. They're just trying to have people... They're just, you know, they want him to stay away from her because yeah. They know it's not good for him. So it's just about him going through that. But, you know, like, the rest of his family, like, had their own issues. Like, Robert De Niro's character has, like, issues with gambling. Like, really big issues with gambling and stuff like that. Like, he... But, like, the movie's set in Philadelphia and you get a really, like, good sense of... the neighborhood they live in, and like there's just a lot of like side characters that are really just fun to be around. It was crazy. Like, where I was watching with my girlfriend, she's like, oh, it reminds me of your family. And I was like, you're like downstairs, like, you know, there's people, like, everybody's always talking and everything. It seems so like hectic, but I don't know. He did David O. Russell just did a really good job capturing that. I wasn't like the hugest fan of The Fighter, but that was one of the things that I liked about it. Like,
oh, yeah,
he really like got, I don't know, it just seemed unique. Like, his style just seems unique regarding those aspects. And whatever, he eventually meets Jennifer Lawrence, and she's kind of fucked up too. Her husband died, and she kind of became a slut afterwards. Tried to, you know, just feel something, I guess. And this is, it's, you know, about them. It eventually just turns into like a romantic love story movie, but. There's so many other things to it that elevate it mm-hmm. to something more than that. Yeah, and Jennifer Lawrence is awesome, and Bradley Cooper is actually really good. I always knew he had it in him, but like I used to watch him on Alias, and I really liked him on Alias.
Oh, that's right, he was on Alias, yeah. Right? Yeah.
But ever since then, I haven't, like, you know, he did the Hangover movies. He hasn't done much in his film career, and I'm glad he finally got. Some good material to work.
I thought he was in the A-Team.
I mean, yeah, he was good. He was good in Hangover, and he was good in the A-Team, but I mean, I think he's a capable actor.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just hope he does more stuff like this, because he's really good.
Well, I gotta see it then.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a feel-good movie. I don't know why you, like, you would be mad. Why your friend would be mad.
I don't know. But yeah.
So, you see anything? I think that's it for me, so...
Yeah. That I've seen recently, I know a couple of weeks ago I told you I saw The Gray. I was told you I was going to call it Bummer, Maximum Bummer, the movie called.
Yeah.
But yeah, The Gray, if anyone hasn't seen it, it's about Liam Neeson stars, I forgot his name, is this guy who he works in Alaska for this oil company.
Yeah.
And what he does is that he, while people go out to scout for, like, I guess locations to drill or whatever, I'm not sure what, he waits behind them and, like, pretty much watches out for wolves in case they try to attack them. And so he pretty much just shoots or kills the wolves that come around the area or whatever. So he's kind of like a hunter, right? I guess, yeah. Protector, defender.
Yeah.
But you could tell right away from the beginning of this movie, this guy is, like, suffering from, like, this deep sadness and depression. And all of a sudden, like, I know, he gets on his plane with the people who work for the oil company. Mm-hmm. Like, a bunch of these, like, dirty, rugged guys, who some of them who just got out of jail, all they do is, like, drill work and whatever. And the plane crashes, and pretty much there's only a few survivors, and they decide to walk south, head south to, you know, try to see if someone will find them, because, you know, they won't, if they stay there, they're going to die.
Yeah.
And they come across a pack of wolves, who all of a sudden decided that they're going to be like they're going to hunt them or something, like, you know, the wolves to like slowly attack them one by one.
Yeah,
which I thought was kind of weird in the movie, because I'm like, how are they that smart, like conniving? We'll just attack this one person today and the next person tomorrow. We're gonna go in and scare them off a little. But Liam Neeson was always good at explaining that, like, oh, this is how they work, they do this, they work this way. You know, and it's it's a really depressing movie, but not in a bad way. I don't know if that's hard. It's, I mean, it's definitely a like a really good man flick. You know what I'm saying? Like a really good guy flick.
Yeah.
Because, and it's not talking about in the ways of like, oh, action and shooting and whatever.
Whenever people like think of what this movie is, they picture the image of Liam Neeson putting
a shot on his
fist and fighting wolves.
No, yeah.
Spoiler, they never show him fucking punching wolves. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's not what the movie is. Like, no. I know that seems silly, like it's just taken in Alaska, whatever. Yeah. But it's not that.
Yeah, it's a movie about these guys who connect with each other, and it's so weird because it's not cheesy at all. It, like, any guy who watches this movie will feel like wow, this is cool, like this is a connection. And you know, it's like it's, you know, they have chick flicks, this is a guy flick. Yeah. And this is a guy flick in the sense that it's really sadness. There's a lot of sadness in all these characters, and all these regrets that a lot of these characters have, and hopes, you know, and wishes. And you, like, when you're on the verge of dying and you're scared, you know, you let it all out. Yeah. And these dudes, like, pretty much let their hearts out to each other. You know, they tell the truth. You know, and it was I thought it was really beautiful. And especially the one guy, there was one character who in the beginning he starts off like all balls out badass.
He's like the bully antagonist character.
Yeah, you think this guy's gonna go the route where he's gonna turn on everybody and they're gonna have to kill him or something.
Yeah.
But the beautiful part, the most beautiful moment of that movie was when he tries to be all badass and he says, you know what, fuck you, you're not gonna be the leader of the group anymore. Like, he tells Liam Neeson's character that, you know, you're full of shit, I'm gonna do this or that. And all of a sudden this wolf like attacks him or something, or he gets scared, and then he just looks at Liam Neeson and goes, you know what, you're right, I'm sorry, I'm fucking scared. And he just says that to him, and it's like, it was an amazing moment, because he just fesses up to, like, you know, this fear that he has, and it was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
And
I really like how the movie, like, a lot of the death scenes in the movie, and how, especially when the plane first crashes.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember it, because I saw it in theaters, but when, like, Liam Neeson is talking to this character who's clearly dying, and he just kind of, like, eases him into his death.
Oh, yeah, that was a great moment.
This is a really good scene. And I believe there's another scene kind of like that later in the movie. I don't know.
No,
I think the movie deals with death in a really good way.
Yeah, the acceptance of death, how when you're dying, what do you do, it's beautiful. Like, I thought it was great. It was a great ending, too. It ended perfectly. I mean,
yeah.
So
it was a surprise. Like, I wasn't expecting a really good movie out of it.
No, I agree. I was expecting like an action movie, like about these guys who fight wolves, and it was completely different. Yeah. It was so somber, but it was beautiful. I don't know. It's weird to say that about a movie about all these dudes that are trying to survive in the woods, but it was really beautiful. Like, it was sad. And
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah, I did. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I watched it while I was at work. It was a really slow day at work, and I was on the computer. I was getting bummed out. Customers were coming in. I put the movie on pause. I was kind of like all like somber, like, oh, how can I help you? But it was good.
That's cool. Anything else you see?
Did I see anything? Oh, I saw Argo at the theaters. That was good. I really enjoyed Argo a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben Affleck needs to, I don't know, he's such a great filmmaker. He needs to make more movies. I don't know what else to say.
He just needs to not put himself in his own movies.
Really? I don't mind him in his own movies.
I mean, he's all right. But I liked Argo, but I don't know.
Like, no, I think you're right, though, because his best one is Gone Baby Gone.
He could have put a better actor in his own movie. You know what I mean? I actually thought he was really good in Town.
Yeah.
Like, his actual performance was good. But yeah.
No, I think you're right, though, because his best is still Gone Baby Gone.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in that at all. And so, you have a point.
He's broski.
Yeah. So, but Argo was good. I love the tension in that movie.
Yeah.
It was really subtle, but it was still like...
I thought they did a good job, like, setting up like you understanding the situation. Obviously,
yeah,
that they should be doing that. That's their job as storytellers, to make sure the setup's good. But I thought they did a good job setting up the whole thing, what's going on.
But I mean, like, you already know what happens in the movie because it's part of history, you know?
Yeah.
Even tells you in the plot, it's the story about these people who get away from Iran, you know, who were hiding because of this hostage situation and how they got away.
Yeah.
So you know they get away. But when they're at the airport and there's all this tension of them trying to get away, like, it's like, you know what's going to happen, but you're still, like, on the edge of your seat going, oh, my God, are they going to get away? I was like, oh, yeah, they do. Like,
I didn't know. I don't think I did it. I don't think I did any research going in, so I didn't know what was going to happen. I mean, I didn't think they were going to die, but or get caught or whatever. But I definitely didn't know. So
yeah, that was good. I mean, in real life, it probably wasn't that tense. Like the ending towards the end, where they get on the plane, where they're getting chased by the police cars last minute, get down the runway. Like that probably didn't happen in real life.
No.
But yeah, it was a good movie. That's it, man. I've been so busy with work. I've purchased Moonrise Kingdom, which I still need to see.
Yeah, I'm gonna make it a resolution next year to watch more movies.
Yeah, me too.
But that's my resolution every year.
Yeah.
But I definitely gotta squeeze them in more during my weeks. Watch at least two a week. Shouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
It's 100 and four movies around there, I guess. Right, 52 weeks. Anyway,
I'm trying to think of what else I saw. I know I've seen something, I just can't remember it. I don't know. It's months ago, but I saw Dark Shadows, which is a horrible piece of crap. I mean, God, it's a terrible movie.
Yeah. You ever listen to This American Life?
No.
It's a radio show on WBEZ.
Uh-huh, yeah, I know. Are you going to bring up Sleepwalk with Me?
No. I forgot that was one of the movies that we probably should see. There's an episode called Conventions. It's about, like, people who go to conventions and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And one of them's about a character who goes to a Dark Shadows convention. It's a really great episode. But then there's also, like, a middle story, which is heartbreaking, and I'll send you a link. You should listen to it. But that just made me think of it because you mentioned Dark Shadows.
Yeah,
Dark Shadows, not good.
You ain't seen it?
It's not. Oh, it's no, terrible. I don't like.
No, don't.
Modern Tim Burton.
Yeah, Tim Burton. I don't know. Poor soul. I don't know what happened to him. It's an awful movie. There's character the main character girl who she starts the movie off. No, she doesn't start the movie off in the beginning because they tell Johnny Depp's character first, like his backstory. Mm-hmm. Then it cuts to her though, and going into the town to become like the nanny for the kids or whatever. I don't remember, but she's important to the story, I think. But halfway through the movie, she just completely disappears, like a chunk of it for 45 minutes, and then she comes back towards the end out of nowhere. Like you're like, and then she and it's funny because at the end she's a big part of the climax. And so you're like, where was she the past like 45 minutes of the movie?
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really bad.
I guess that means we should wrap it up or what?
Yeah, if you want. Yeah.
Well, yeah, guys, sorry it wasn't that spectacular of a Christmas special, but
Merry Christmas.
We'll be back. I don't know when.
Next podcast should be more exciting because there's a lot of movies that we want to watch that are coming out.
Yeah.
Django.
Yeah.
Well, I want to see This Is 40 and...
Yeah.
I know you. People are going to laugh. I want to see Jack Reacher and... Yeah. But are we going to talk about that marathon thing?
Yeah. Yeah, so this upcoming Saturday,
yeah,
we're doing a marathon. Me, Rudy, and Robert. I had to think about that for a second. But no, it was Robert's idea. You want to?
Yeah. Basically, what it is because we were talking about how we need to see more movies.
Yeah.
And I was watching this YouTube clip of all the movies that came out in 2012. I don't know. Who's the person that does it? I don't remember.
Zenai. It's actually a girl.
A girl? Okay. Yeah. And it was a great thing. And all it made me realize is how there are so many small films they got a lot of recognition that I want to see, that, you know, especially like Take This Waltz, like, and Safety Not Guaranteed, and, you know, and I just started making a list of movies that I wanted to see that, you know, are smaller films that got good reviews or that, you know, had good word of mouth.
Yeah.
So I gave you, brought that up to you, how we should all pick one movie that we wanted to see, you know, a smaller film from last year or this year.
Yeah.
And then the last one would be like all as a collective that we all wanted to see. It'd be like four movies.
Yeah.
And we'll watch them all in a row. And, you know,
yeah,
that's pretty much my idea. sit and drink and watch them or whatever. But
yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be cool. So we'll probably do a podcast only about that, about those four. But yeah, our next episode is going to be Django Unchained.
Django Unchained.
Tarantino. And then after that, we'll have the episode on how our movie marathon night goes.
It was just a good idea to get together and watch movies, which is I wanted to do, because I haven't really done that in a while, like get together with a group of people to watch like a bunch of movies.
Yeah.
So I've definitely been wanting to do that for a while.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, this has been episode number 17. I hope I got the number right. I don't think I have. I think this is episode 18.
Oh, I don't know.
I need to look it up before we sign out here. All right, guys. Well, Robert, thanks for being on the show once again. Well,
thanks for having me on.
This was indeed episode number 17 of the Film Club Podcast. See you guys soon. Take care.
All right, bye.